The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver,
a Salem Media Group station.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here.
Fight the good fight,
I'm the man.
Every minute, every day.
The voice of the people.
Fight the good fight.
This is the Peter Boyle Show.
Peter Boyle Show on a Thursday. Is today Thursday?
No.
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
I allow myself one each and every show. Wednesday morning, hump day. We made it, apparently.
I guess. I mean, if you forgot the days, you were already over the hump.
I think that it is already scheduled this way, but you'll be relieved to know this is my last day.
Oh, it is.
I mean, if it wasn't before, it certainly is now to fill in for Peter. Peter will be back here on Friday. So he is working his way back. I've been getting pictures from him from Germany and some of the amazing places. And I can just tell from the tenor of the texts that this trip has impacted him a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so really looking forward to his return on Friday. I think Stephen Tubbs has the con tomorrow.
Oh.
I'm Randy Corcoran from Saturday Mornings. We do Denver's only live local conservative Saturday morning show. And since this is my previously unscheduled, now last scheduled opportunity to fill in, we have packed this show. I don't know if you're going to talk about this in the news, but obviously lynchings is the new word that we can't say.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming right out of the gate, about 5:40 this morning, we're going to talk to the Reverend C.L. Bryant. He's a filmmaker, former president of the NAACP, pastor, who woke up. He walked away from the Democrat Party long before there was ever a walk-away movement. And he's a black man. We'll get his take on the use of the word lynchings. Brexit, of course, is in the news. Got Katie Hopkins calling all the way in from England a little bit later on in the show. And then Ken Buck has been in the eye of the storm. The Colorado State GOP leader, Congressman Ken Buck, failed to sign on to the effort by Republicans to censure Adam Schiff. People have had questions, and he's going to come on and answer some of those questions at 7 o'clock.
And good.
And then been trying so hard for so long since the Western Conservative Summit to get some time with John Andrews, who truly is the Colorado conservative statesman anymore.
Sure.
He'll join us at 8, so we've packed it hard today, which really leaves no time for the news. So, Tommy, thanks for stopping by.
I'll just throw this on the floor.
Let's hear it. You literally threw it on the floor.
Yes.
All right. Well, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Randy. And no, I'm not going to talk about the lynching because, you know, if I were to have a story every time somebody was offended by something that President Trump said, that's all the news, you know. And oh, by the way, that's what the mainstream media is doing, isn't it?
It's just remarkably ridiculous. We've got a compilation that Billy Thorpe put together that, or at least, I guess somebody else put it together, but we've got it just to hear how Democrats, many of them with dark skin, use that very same word during the Clinton era impeachments. And so just another way to shine the light of hypocrisy on the radical left.
Yeah.
But my frustration, since you're not going to talk about it, has been with Republicans.
Uh-huh.
Republicans and the, you know, the independent voices out there who just are so very critical every time this president does something that's outside of that very narrow lane they want him to operate in, the lane that would cause him to lose if he were to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So, our lead story of the day, William Taylor, who came out of retirement to head up the American Embassy in Ukraine, testified for 10 hours behind closed doors in the impeachment inquiry. And as I understand it, behind closed doors only with Democrats in attendance. Republicans are shut out of that closed-door testimony.
And they don't get copies of the transcripts. If they want to even see what was said, they have to sit in a room, review the transcripts with a Democrat aide in the room with them, like babysitters. Mm. So it's a fraud. It's like every other hoax, every other, oh my God, issue that's going to take out President Donald Trump, and they're just milking it for everything it's worth.
House Democrats are trying to establish President Trump held out a quid pro quo in his dealings with Ukraine in William Taylor's testimony. Taylor testified about what he called the Trump administration's irregular back channel to foreign policy led by the president's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and what he called alarming circumstances that threatened to erode the U.S. relationship with Ukraine facing Russian aggression. Now, I know you're going to comment on that.
According to leaked statements by Democrats, we don't know what he testified to. We don't know the context of what he testified to. We don't know if Adam Schiff gave him some leading question with a roundabout loop-de-loop guiding him and then got a yes or a no, which maybe answered part of that question. These guys are such liars. It's such a fraud. And I hate that those types of quotes and leaks show up in the news without being reported as such. And that's not a criticism of you. You can only take what you get.
Oh, it's tough. It really is. It is really tough to get to the truth because so much is concealed. Now, in this case, they did release a lengthy written testimony that he gave under pressure now because they're being pressured, the Democrats, for being so secretive. So you had the written testimony, which I assume is the introductory testimony that he gave, but you don't have the 9 hours and, 45 minutes of back and forth and the things that we're not only are we not able to see, but Republicans are not able to see because they're not there.
The only thing that anyone who is listening to our voices right now needs to remember about this inquiry and the idea of quid pro quo is that the person who is being leveraged, the person who is being blackmailed, air quotes when I say that, has to be aware that something is being withheld for them to feel any pressure about the withholding. And it is uncontradicted that the president of Ukraine had no idea that there were discussions about withholding aid when he had his phone conversation with the president.
Right.
None at all.
Right.
The aid had flowed. Ron Johnson was on with Mark Levin last Sunday, Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, business guy. I've had my issues with some of his votes, but so what? Relatively conservative. He was actually in meetings with the president of the United States long before the Hunter Biden story started to come out, where the president of the United States was expressing his frustration with Ukraine, the corruption over there, that aid flows in and it disappears into banks. The president of Ukraine was elected with 70%+ of the vote on a platform of rooting out corruption once and for all. And so this has been a concern of the president's. He's wanted the European allies to step up and contribute to Ukraine if they think it's so darn important as well, and was hesitant, as he's been with many other countries, to turn over aid if it was not going to be used in some not only beneficial to that country, but beneficial to American interests. But the bottom line, just remember it. Look at the timeline. The president of Ukraine did not know that aid was being, there was a consideration of withholding aid when that phone conversation occurred. It is impossible, therefore, to allege a quid pro quo. Say that five times.
Quid pro quo.
Quid pro quo.
Quid pro quo. Quid pro quo.
Well, not bad.
Quid pro quo. No. I responded. I responded to your interruption. I didn't trip. That was four. Quid pro quo.
Real professional.
Yes, thank you. Now, William, to my point that it is so hard to find the truth here, William Taylor came out of the testimony after 10 hours. Democrats came out of the testimony calling it the most damning testimony against President Trump. Yet, Republicans are saying there is no such evidence of a quid pro quo. So this is so hard to evaluate. First of all, when I'm preparing this newscast, the slant of virtually all of our sources is the damning testimony against the president, you know. And so you got to weed through all that stuff and get to the who, what, where, and leave the whys to the people who are making those decisions, you know.
Well, one thing that I hear you do and that I wish more news people who, you know, true news people who are really just trying to get out there what information there is, is say, you know, and you do this more than maybe anybody. Democrats allege damning testimony again. Right. Republicans say it isn't. At least get that balance in there so people realize. Because if you listen to our partners at CBS News or any place else, all you get is, you know, a question like Jake Tapper's in that presidential debate. The president has made false allegations against your son, Mr. Vice President. Over here, Mr. Vice President. Could you please comment on that? Well, I'm proud of my son. I love my son. And by the way, where am I? I mean, it's just so obvious.
Let me ask you a question as a lawyer. As a lawyer, you have, am I getting in way of your guest by?
Oh, no. Okay, we scheduled him for 5:40, so it's perfect.
As a lawyer, you have what is known as discovery, right?
Yes.
Discovery is for you to know as much as you can know about the case so that your side and the opposite side can be armed with the information that you have, and then you engage in arguments over the information that has been discovered.
That everybody has.
We're not seeing any discovery in this impeachment inquiry.
The Democrats are milking this for all it's worth. It's a fundraising ploy. The New York Times editorial. Where is a viable Democrat presidential candidate? They're freaking out. And so you remember Al Green, the statement that's been played 100 times, we can't beat this president, we must impeach him or he will be reelected. This is where they're at right now. This is what it's down to for them. We're almost 3 years into this presidency. And from even before he became the nominee or was elected, every time one of these things popped up, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is the thing that's going to get Trump.
This is what we got.
Yeah.
We finally got him. We finally got him.
And yet, what do we see? We see record turnouts at events for the president. We see record fundraising. And even here in our own backyard up north in Fort Collins at CSU, 3,000 people that couldn't get into the Charlie Kirk event for Turning Point USA last night. A packed house when the president was warning students about not showing up at this thing. These are the things that are scaring the bejesus out of Democrats. And I kind of like it.
Yeah. This news and comment is brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. Continuing with the news, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson appears to be pushing for an early general election after Parliament blocked a fast-track plan to approve his Brexit deal before the October 31st deadline. I love this. Lawmakers yesterday backed the substance of Johnson's deal, but rejected plans to allow only 3 days of debate before final consideration of the legislation. So, in other words, kicking more down the road because there is an October 31st deadline. The government is now waiting for the EU's response on a possible extension of the Brexit deadline. So,
I don't know enough about the process over there. I wish I did, but that's one of the reasons we've got Katie Hopkins. What are they, 8 hours, 9 hours ahead of us over there?
So, 8, 9, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be a good time for her to weigh in on this, because she predicted that this would get done by the end of October when she was here on 710 and when she was in town a couple of weeks ago. I want to see if that's changed.
Mark Zuckerberg will.
She also said I was going to be her fourth or fifth husband.
Really?
Yeah, at the live event. So we'll see if I'm still in line. My wife's sleeping.
I was going to say, I think your wife has something to say about that.
It's an inside. It's just an inside joke. She's incredibly funny, and we had some back and forth at her live event that turned into talking about future husbands. It's just don't ask.
Okay.
I wish you hadn't brought it up.
Now, on Capitol Hill today, Mark Zuckerberg will testify. The Facebook CEO will talk to the House Financial Services Committee about Facebook's controversial plans for digital currency, known as Libra. Hong Kong authorities today withdrew an unpopular extradition bill that sparked months of protests that have since morphed into a campaign for greater democratic change. And in sports, which you didn't see, the Washington Nationals went into Houston and grabbed a win in the first game of the World Series, beating the Astros 5-4. Max Scherzer got through five innings to get the win. Sean Doolittle got the final four outs for the save. Game two is tonight in Houston.
That's baseball, right?
That's baseball, yeah.
Okay.
That's where you hit the ball and you play for nine innings, and if it's tied, you go into overtime.
Are you a baseball fan just for baseball's sake? If you don't have a stake,
I don't have a team. I don't know. You know, it's funny. I used to produce sports, and of course, I knew and enjoyed everything because that was my work, part of my work. I go to bed at 6 o'clock at night now, and I don't see football. I don't see baseball. I'm a college football fan because that's it's Saturday during the day.
Played in the afternoon. Yeah, yeah. So.
I would be a baseball fan if I had time to follow it.
Yeah.
Right. Went to Yankees games as a kid in Yankee Stadium.
I've just never been able to get too hepped up about sports unless I have a stake, you know, an attachment. When my dad's Kansas City Royals were in the World Series, loved it.
Well,
we went to some games before that.
Well, you got season tickets for the Broncos.
For the Broncos, yeah. And they used to play football here.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
In Colorado. I'm sorry to see Emmanuel Sanders go, about the only spark plug not the only, but one of the few spark plugs they had on that team.
Right.
But so glad for him to get to a winning team. Mm-hmm. He's been getting pounded, beat up, injured, and doesn't have that many years left in his career. Might as well go and somewhere where he can win. So I'm happy about that.
Here's what I am into, though. Global stocks were mixed today after Wall Street fell and an EU leader said that he would recommend that the trade bloc let Britain delay its departure. Wall Street is expected to open higher this morning, with Dow and S&P futures each up 0.1%. And, Randy, that's real news.
Real news with a little commentary filtered in.
Quite a bit of commentary there, yes.
So I'm glad you didn't find it necessary to report on lynching. That probably is just the news of yesterday. We'll hear about it on the Sunday shows, and everybody will hem and haw.
Yeah.
And we have to have Republicans, you know, jump up, the Mitt Romneys of the world, the Mitch McConnells. Oh, that was an unfortunate choice of words. Senator McConnell, majority leader, who I will always respect for holding back a U.S. Supreme Court seat, actually following historical precedent and doing the right thing, contrary to the views of the left. But this necessity of Republicans to come out every time there's something controversial that the left wants to tag this president with is just, I'm at the end of it. Because you never hear them say, well, you know, I wouldn't have used the word lynch or lynching, but I am so grateful we have this president driving this economy to historic proportions for black people, for Hispanics, for women and men and everybody across the spectrum. And so glad that our military, they just don't do it that way. Listen to this. You probably haven't heard this before. This is the compilation I was talking about that Billy got in here for us.
How dare the president compare lynching to impeachment.
My votes are.
That was Al Green, 1998, representative Democrat from Texas.
Protests against an unfair process. The inequities in the impeachment process have been glaring. What we are doing or what we are doing here is not a prosecution, it's a persecution. And indeed, it is a political lynching.
That was Gregory Meeks, a Democrat from New York in 1998 during the Bill Clinton impeachment. An impeachment, by the way, where there actually was lying to Congress. There actually were crimes that were legitimately up for discussion during a process where the Republicans bent over backwards to make sure that the president, his legal counselors, and the Democrats had equal and fair access to the process and the information that was out there.
So I will not vote for this nightmare before Christmas. I will not vote for this lynching in the people's house. I will vote against these resolutions.
Even if.
That was a guy named Danny Davis, a Democrat from Illinois. What do all three of those representatives have in common? I'll give you one guess.
I think the word, other than being Democrats, they have all that in common.
Yeah.
The word lynching you're referring to?
Well, no, they're all black men.
Oh.
They're all black men utilizing that terminology to defend their president.
Okay.
And oh, Donald Trump, he's just such a racist.
The president should be impeached. History is going to question whether or not this was just a partisan lynching.
This,
gee, creepy, sleepy, dopey Joe Biden as a senator using the L word to protect his president. We'll let this play out now.
Day feels to me like we're taking a step down the road to becoming a political lynch mob.
And for those of you who say that this isn't about sex, I agree with you. This is about getting rid of the president of the United States. The whole idea is a lynch mob mentality that says this man has to go.
Yep, that's the whole idea.
Yeah. That was, I could tell by his voice, that was the New York, the Harlem.
Charlie Rangel.
Charlie Rangel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, talk about scandals throughout his tenure.
Right.
It's just incredible. And hypocrisy of the left. We're used to that. We expect it. We know it's going to happen. But for Republicans to jump on every single time, so over it. And
you know what? What I, and you and I have discussed this off the air, what I think they're doing, if it doesn't happen that he's impeached, what they're doing is to trying to kick up so many questions about Donald Trump that people is going, well, I don't know. You know, we got all these accusations. I like what he's doing, but maybe he's crooked and maybe I should not vote for him. I think that's the it may not be the end game, but they hope that that delays things in terms of people's attitude toward or flavors people's attitudes against Donald Trump simply because of accusations,
right.
Accusations.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you have to commend them for their relentless strategy, dishonest as it may be, anti-American as it may be, unfair, all the different things. It's all they've got because there's not a single candidate that's out there right now that can carry Donald Trump's water on a debate stage. And no enthusiasm, no fundraising to speak of. And so they're using the only tools they have. Republicans need to understand what they're up against in that situation.
Yeah.
And stop being so ready to buy into the media narrative and the Democrat assessment of everything this president does. It really is frustrating. Texts are coming in this morning already, and love Alexa, often the very first texter in the morning. But she's sending pictures of apparently her son with Donald Trump Jr. And he was up there at the CSU event. Charlie apparently called out the president of CSU for announcing the show along with talking about white supremacy. Did you hear any of that?
No.
Yeah, she said, you know, we cannot support on campus these, you know, these folks, and this is a horrible paraphrase. But I guess the easiest way to say it without overstating it is she tied together the visit by Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, Donald Trump Jr. with white supremacy, and cautioned students from turning out. And they flooded the place. They couldn't all get in. There's one tweet that I've retweeted at Randy Corcoran of a sped-up video of the line of people trying to get in to see these folks. Yeah. So, Alexa, thanks for sharing that. I'll bet it was a fantastic event. I've been around Charlie Kirk before, and he is a very charismatic, super smart, always ready to tango, articulate, passionate defender of the president and a promoter of conservative values. Mm-hmm. So the left just has to be going insane. Yeah. And I like it.
I'm sure you do.
Hey, it's really been fun over the last week. Seen you a bunch. Today was a bonus visit.
Good.
And I hope you have a good weekend when you get there.
Thank you. Well, every day's a weekend for me.
Yeah, so. That's true. Tommy Mueller, we're going to take our break right now. We'll have time for a couple of calls on the other side, and then we'll be joined by the Reverend C.L. Bryant, black conservative, former NAACP president, lost his church when he walked away from the Democrat Party long, long, long before there was a Brandon Straka and a walkaway movement. We'll get his take on the use of the term lynching by the President of the United States. That'll come up around 5:40 or so. So hope you'll stay with us. Peter Boyle's show underway. Randy Corcoran here at 710 KNUS.
When radio counts, count on Peter Boyle's.
We're back. Randy Corcoran here for Pete. Pete will be back on Friday. Don't forget, you're running out of time to get tickets to the War for America's Soul Countdown to 2020 with Dennis Prager and Michelle Malkin at CU South Denver. You can get your tickets and complete details at 710KNUS.com. Brought to you in part by Alpha One Tax and Wealth. Visit them online at alphaonewealth.com. And I want to have plenty of time in the one segment we'll have with the Reverend C.L. Bryant. He's a senior fellow over there at Freedom Works now, former NAACP president and pastor, created the great movie, the documentary Runaway Slave. He's a black man, and we'll get his take on lynching when we return on 710 KNUS.
This is the Peter Boyle Show.
We're back. Randy Corcoran in for Peter Boyle. So good to have you along. Had the opportunity to meet for the very first time our next guest way back, gosh, was it 2008 or 9? He can tell us when his movie, excellent movie, Runaway Slave, came out. We were walking around the grounds on at the Broadmoor Hotel during a leadership program of the Rockies event. The movie was screened there. And I just knew from the level of conversation that we had that this was one of the great thinkers of our time on the conservative movement. I knew he'd be around hopefully forever, and he's with us right now. His name is C.L. Bryant, and good morning, sir. It's so nice to have you back on in Denver.
Glad to be on with you, Randy. Thank you so much for having me.
Host of the C.L. Bryant Show, senior fellow over there at Freedom Works. I don't know what other projects you've got in the making, but give people the 30 or 45-second version of your history from the NAACP, your church, your conversion to conservatism. I think it's very, very important for people to know.
As president of the NAACP, Randy, over 30 years ago now, I was asked to speak at a pro-choice rally. Couldn't do it. My star that was rising rapidly in the organization, when I sent them my no that I can't speak at a pro-choice rally, began to set abruptly, and I realized that they not only want to control the agenda, but they wanted to control me. And so I left the organization, and that leaving actually led me on a journey to where I am now in discovering that it's all a fraud, it's all a scam as far as progressive liberal movement was concerned, and we've made movies and all types of things about that since then with my working with Freedom Works in Washington, D.C.
People can follow you and see your work at the clbryantshow.com, clbryantshow.com. Highly recommend it. You are also the pastor of a church, and you're walking away from the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Cost you your parish or your church, didn't it?
Yes, in making of the film, and of course, hanging out with you Tea Party types and grassroots type, that's what actually pushed it over the edge there, Randy. So, yeah, we pay a lot of dues in order to do this. Not doing it because it's popular, we do this because it is right. And that is what I hope everyone is doing as well.
The left and the squishy Republicans who are so quick to pounce and try and distance themselves from the president get so hyped up in language. You were extricated, thrown out basically, or had to walk away from the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. How is it that that organization continues its name, but the word lynching is now some kind of a presidential disqualifier?
It's because we have allowed this type of word policing to continue and or to go on in this country for far too long. The progressive liberals are doing whatever they can to change all the definitions that we have come to understand to be traditional. And lynching is a word. It's a word. Who owns that word? I don't really know. It's not a great word, but it's a word. And, Randy, we're not living in the 1920s or the 1800s. We're living in the year 2019, headed fastly toward 2020. And if we have not grown past a place in America where we cannot speak to one another, we can't say things to one another without someone calling it racist, even if you're Republican or whoever, then we're in serious trouble, and it's the infantile, juvenile. That is what's going on in this country, and it's an indication of our immaturity. And I'm not really sure that we're mature enough as Americans to actually live together in peace anymore because of the juvenile type of aspect progressive liberals have planted in the minds of our young people, our politicians, everywhere. The seed is strewn far and wide. But it's very juvenile what's going on in this country at this point in time.
I played a compilation in the early segment of the show that had six Democrats back in 1998 during the impeachment of Bill Clinton refer to it as a lynching or a political lynching. Four of them were black men, Al Green, Gregory Meeks, Danny Davis, and good old Charlie Rangel. And then Jim McDermott and Joe Biden both referred to that impeachment as a lynching. And we have Republicans. Mitch McConnell comes out and says, well, an unfortunate choice of words. You know, horse thieves were lynched. Train robbers were lynched. Clint Eastwood was lynched in the movie Hang 'em High. The precursor to the Italian mafia used to hang people. And many, if not most, of the lynchings in the Deep South by, for instance, the KKK. What political party was it that provided the vast majority of members to the KKK?
It was a Democrat Party, no doubt about it. Get runaway slave, and you can see that for sure on Amazon Prime. You can see it on Amazon Prime tonight. My film, Runaway Slave. And you know what, Randy? As far as that is concerned, the history of mankind is a story of tragedy and man's inhumanity to man. But we have victory over that as Christians, as a Christian nation, Judeo-Christian ethical nation. The victory is in Christ Jesus. Yes, America hasn't always been what it is today, but America certainly isn't what she was 100 years ago, 200 years ago. It's just not that. But the fact of the matter is the history of mankind is one that tells the tales of our inhumanity to one another. Clarence Thomas called what was going on with his hearing when he was confirmed to the Supreme Court as a high-tech lynching. These are words, Randy, that are meant to be used to convey thought and emotion. And so this is one of the things that I believe the president was indicating when he referred to this word, a thought and an emotion. And who's going to police that? Who do we put in charge of policing that? Certainly not the progressive liberals.
So do you consider this at any level a misstep by the president? I hear Republicans and so-called conservative commentators all the time talking about how the president doesn't need to create these additional controversies. He doesn't need to be coming up with other things for people to complain about, as though they would stop or wouldn't just continue to focus on this bogus impeachment.
The controversy arises in the minds of those who want to get rid of the president. Have you ever wondered why Lindsey Graham is so wishy-washy on the way that he approaches and supports the president? The reason for that is because Lindsey comes from the establishment wing of the party. And he is in the clicks and between worrying about whether or not the president's going to say the wrong thing, so that if he does, and if for some reason, God forbid, the president is ousted, they want to be comfortable. People like him want to be comfortable in saying, well, we did everything we could to police him, but he got away from us, and we're still okay, but he's out. They're walking a line that actually no other president, Republican president, not even Nixon, had to walk. Either the party was with you, they were against you, but they didn't pretend they were with you this moment and then against you the next moment just to save their own selves. Republicans had better understand that this is one of those elections where we had all better be all in, because the Dems are out to get the president. And it's sad to see that the Republicans may be out to get him on some level themselves, simply because he's not from the swamp. He's not orthodox in the political games that they play. He shoots straight. He says it like he calls it, like he sees it. And the word lynching, non-starter, period. There is nothing there, just like there's nothing there in all the other aspects of what they're trying to throw at this president.
How do you see the next year going? You're on the ground in multiple places. We've only got about 30 seconds. Maybe we can keep you through the break. And in fact, why don't we do it this way? Why don't give some thought and think about some of the most significant events that you've seen, people showing up, people nervous about the president. Just give us, I guess, your assessment of where we're going to wind up in 2020 when we come back. Does that work for you?
That'll work, Randy.
All right. I'm so sorry that we got to you late. We will be talking with Katie Hopkins in the next hour about Brexit. She is back in Britain right now. She was here in Denver just a couple of weeks ago. That was a remarkable event with her. And then Congressman Ken Buck, why did he not sign on to the censure bill, the effort by Republicans to censure Adam Schiff? He will join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Just a whole lot of reasons to stick around. It's the Peter Boyle Show here on 710 KNUS.